This is Digital Story Podcast number 779, February 23rd, 2021. Today's theme is Exploring the World of Electric Vehicles and Photography. I'm Derek Story. Going back to our roots in nimble photography, the thinking has always been, travel lightly and take only pictures. Now, as we begin to think about post-pandemic exploration, the world of electric vehicles has become very interesting. In combining emissions-free travel with nimble photography feels like a match made in heaven. I hope you enjoy the show. Like many of the lightning bolts that have struck me over the years, the concept for this podcast is the result of ideas and situations all just coming together. Today I'm going to explain how that happened and then where I think we should go from here. Alrighty? So let's just start at the beginning. I've been interested in electric vehicles for some time. You know that I'm on the notification list for the Volkswagen Buzz, which is their reimagined bus that's all electric. So the plan has been, when the time came, I would sell the Vanagon I have, and a lot of you know about the Vanagon. I've told stories about it. I would sell it to an owner who would really appreciate it, take care of it, and keep it going. It's running quite well right now. And then I would use the money from that sale as part of the down payment on the all-electric Volkswagen Buzz, which is their bus that is really futuristic looking, at least by all the renderings. Here's the thing. I gave myself until 2021 before I would make a decision about all this. Originally, I was thinking that the Buzz would be in production now, and then it would just be a matter of, all right, when does it get to North America and how many will be coming here? Well, Volkswagen's been working on all sorts of stuff, and they've been dealing with the pandemic at the same time. And I know one of their thoughts was, or still is, to build a factory here in the U.S. To build the bus. Well, as far as I know, they haven't built the factory yet, and we really don't have an ETA on the bus. So way back when I joined the mailing list about the bus, and I got one not too long ago from Volkswagen that was talking about the car that is here in the U.S. now, called the ID4. And it's basically an all-electric SUV built on their new platform. So I took a look at it because really what I'm looking for in this next car is something that I can road trip with. Something that, you know, has enough cargo space for me to have whatever gear I need, possibly to catch a few hours sleep at a rest stop if I need some rest, to freshen up again before I hit the road. Something that just allows me the versatility to do light camping, to explore areas for my photography, and to do so relatively comfortably. So even though the ID4 is not the bus and it doesn't have some of the really nice stuff that a bus brings to the table, it brings other things to the table that are also quite nice. So I said, okay, I'm going to take a look at it. I'm going to take a look at this vehicle. And when I started looking at it, I really liked what I saw. So I started reading reviews on it because there has been a pre-production model here in the U.S. for some time. They've already gone through edition one of the car, so owners already have it. So there is information on it, and the reviews are quite good. And I'm going, I'm kind of excited about this. And especially knowing that who knows when the bus is going to show up. I'll deal with that when that happens. So I decided to go ahead and put a reservation down on the ID4. And the way that it works with the Volkswagen program is that you put $100 down to place your reservation. And at that time, you design your car. You know, you're on the site and, you know, you're deciding, you know, what color you want and deciding what packages you want, color of interior, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I designed my ID4 and it's beautiful. It's a beautiful blue with a light gray interior, different environmental lighting on the inside. You know, it's pretty fun. Full panoramic roof, the whole deal. So I got it designed, and I put my $100 down to put me in reservation line. Now, this car is in production, so it's not like I'm putting a reservation down for something that they're still figuring out. They're building them right now. They're shipping them right now. So then the next step is, and they actually, VW has actually created a portal, and you can see the status of your project, of your car. So the next step is, when they send me, hey, you can move on to the next step, then I actually place my real order. The car is built in Germany right now. I think eventually they're going to be built in the U.S., but right now they're built in Germany. You put another $400 down at that point. Now, all this money, of course, goes toward the price of the car, so, you know, it's backed out later on. At that point, they start working on the car. And then you just follow the progress of this project, you know, through the portal where you log in. And so they let you know when the car's complete. They let you know when it's being shipped. You pick a dealer to have it delivered to. Fortunately, I have a VW dealer here in Santa Rosa. So sending it to that dealer. And then when it gets here, you can check out what they've specifically sent you. And if you like what they did, then you finish off the paperwork and you take it home. Now, I'm anticipating that that will happen sometime this summer. The whole process should be completed before the end of summer. About the time that things start lightening up for the pandemic, right? This is all part of my thinking. By the way, I'm going to test drive an ID4 on March 4th. So I'll actually get a chance. It's not the one, obviously, they're building for me, but same car. I'll be able to do that on March 4th, and I'll provide an update. And I have a place that I'm going to be putting all those updates, and I'll talk about that in a minute. So that's the way the process works, and that's sort of the big picture. Here's the next factor that came into play with all this, which is the notion of how we're going to emerge from the pandemic. Because my thinking is, we're not coming out of the pandemic the same way that we went into it. I think that, at least in my case, I'm thinking about travel differently. I'm thinking about my explorations in a different light. I'm just thinking about everything differently, in all honesty. After the pandemic settles down, I have my vaccination, all that kind of stuff. I will still fly when necessary, but it's not going to be my first choice anymore. And I'm really leaning more towards road trips for my adventures. Now, I've gotten a real taste of this lately because I've been going down to Southern California, which is about a 7.5-hour drive to visit my mom. There are three of us kids, and we're sort of taking turns, you know, going down there, hanging out with her for a day or so, doing stuff around the house, and then heading back. On my last trip that I just got back from, and I got her set up with Netflix, which is just rocking her world right now. So that really made me feel good. So we're taking turns going down and doing this stuff. Since I'm doing this on a semi-regular basis, I don't want to be going to motel rooms and all that kind of stuff right now. I configured my Audi A3 so that if I need to pull into a rest stop, I can make it comfortable. I can get some sleep. I have food with me. I can eat. Obviously, you can use the bathroom there at the rest stop and then go about my business and not really have to do the motel restaurant thing that I used to do. And I used to just think about that automatically. I mean, I'd just go, yeah, we'll get a room. We'll go have a bite to eat, you know, da, da, da. That has all changed. That has all changed. And once you get your system down on working like this, then you're kind of thinking, man, I don't really need to do that anymore. You know what I mean? And I'm kind of grooving on the system that I've developed to visit my mom. It's been a good way to, you know, pre-flight this system. Okay, so that's the second layer. I'm coming out of the pandemic differently than I went into it. All right, now here's the next thing. And this one's kind of fun. Then the movie Nomadland came out starring Frances McDormand. Now, I don't know if you've seen this. It's on Hulu. If you haven't seen Nomadland yet, first of all, it's a very good movie. You're probably going to see, you know, it nominated for some things coming up for the Academy Awards. But they take you inside the world of these people that basically, if you ask them if they're homeless, they'll say, no, I'm houseless. And they're saying, I have chosen to live this way. And most of them, what they've done is they've gotten vans, like an Econoline van, and then they've tricked it out so that they can live inside of it and then be super portable and go wherever they want. And that is their home. So this movie takes you inside their world. You get to meet these people. You get to learn about this culture. And even though this is not the way that I want to live, right? I want to have a house to come home to. There is much to learn from their experience in terms of my adventure experience. When I'm gone for a week, when I'm gone for 10 days, even when I'm gone for 2 days, there's much to be learned from them on how to make that work. So I really enjoyed that movie. And if you're thinking about things like this, I recommend seeing it. If you have Hulu, you just find it and watch it. Doesn't cost anything. The last layer is on this, is that I feel like I need to take the next step toward helping the planet survive. We're listening to what Bill Gates says right now. Of course, you know, Al Gore has been talking about, you know, this truth for some time. But we're really starting to see the effects of this. The contributing factors of climate change, for me living here in California, have been very apparent since 2017. And then everywhere else in the U.S., what our brothers and sisters in Texas are going through right now is brutal. What other people are going through with hurricanes, with flooding, you know, it just goes on and on, this extreme weather. And I just feel like that in addition to everything else that I'm doing, and I try to do everything. I'm the guy that I don't run hot water to warm it up to do the dishes. I actually fill the coffee carafe with the water set to hot, even, you know, it's cold at the time, fill the coffee carafe up. By the time it gets to the top, then the water is ready to be hot, and then I can wash dishes, and I don't have to run water in order to get it to be hot. Put the water from the coffee carafe into the coffee maker, and that's what I have the next morning. I mean, I've been doing stuff like that for a long time, but the thing that I haven't solved are my vehicles. So I'm thinking, okay, an electric vehicle is charged ultimately by solar panels going to a battery. Here's where the next coincidence came in. My brother-in-law, who's an engineer and who works for an architectural company, says, I'm going to do a solar project for our house. Now, this is the house that he had to rebuild that burned down in 2017 because of the Tubbs fire. He's trying to make this house as modern and eco-friendly and smart as possible. So he says, I'm going to put in a solar project there. And I said, can I shadow you while you do that? Because I am going to learn so much if you let me do that. And he said, I'd love to have you be part of the project. So now I'm going to sit in on this project. Now he's going to solarify his whole house. I'm right now just looking to have a much smaller system for my house that can charge two electric cars and serve as backup power when PG&E cuts our power, which they do all the time when the winds come up here in Northern California. So I'm just looking more of a backup system and a car charger. If I can get that system in place within the next 5 years, then I have virtually no carbon footprint for my photo adventures. Only what it took to make the car itself. And if I keep the car long enough, that carbon footprint gets smaller every year. That's what led me to this point where I go, I need to share this with all of you. We need to talk about this, because if we look at the next step of nimble photography, if we start thinking about how we're going to resume life after the pandemic and what changes we're going to make as a result of what we learned about climate change, what we've learned about interacting with other people, what we've learned about disease, what we've learned about all these things, if we're going to make changes based on that, and still be able to get out into the world, then this seems like the logical next step. Now, the interesting thing about EV is that it comes with its own unique set of challenges and trade-offs. For instance, the ID4 that it looks like I'm going to buy. By the way, I've looked at all the cars coming out, all the electric cars in 2021. And there are some neat ones. But we're going to talk about that more in this other spot that I'm going to tell you about in a minute. The ID4 has a range of 250 miles. Okay, so my mom's house is farther than that. So right away, first challenge is, where do I lay over to do that half an hour charge to give me that extra 100 miles that I need? You know, that kind of stuff. So you have to come in with all that sort of contingency planning. When you look at what's going on with Texas right now in having their power grid basically shut down in areas, in other areas where you could get electricity, if you had gritty, you were paying just this outrageous price for your electricity. It could be as much as $5,000 a week during this crisis. Then you're looking at, okay, I need a contingency plan for the car if I don't have the solar panel in yet. And even if I have the solar panel in yet, if it's terrible weather, am I going to get enough charge? Do I have enough battery there at the house to recharge the car to do what I need? So you need to start thinking about a whole different set of things. I wanted to have a place where we could do that. So what I did on Derek's Story Online, which is the area is our gathering place now. We're using it for workshops. We're also going to use it for a group that is titled EV Explorers. EV Explorers. I'm setting up this group there. You can join right now. And in that group, we're going to share information. Like, for instance, I put the notice out to our Patreon members, and I already have people join the group even right after that notice. And one of them says, hey, I just bought a Chevy Bolt, and I love it. All right, so there's an experience. We've got someone that owns one of these things, and we can talk to him about it. And, you know, what is he like? What are the extra challenges? All that stuff. So imagine if we have, you know, someone with a Tesla, someone with a Bolt, someone with, you know, the new VW, you know, we go on down the line, someone that has the Mustang Mach EV. Oh, you know, I want to talk to that person. Then we can begin to share information. We can begin to share, okay, how do we do these road trips? How do we do our photo adventures? You know, what gear do we bring? You know, all this sort of stuff that I think will really help us. So that group is there right now. Now, there's a link to it in the show notes because this is going to be a private group, but all of you are invited. We may change it later on, but right now, I just want to be a private group for this community, you know, folks in this community who are interested in combining this technology, electric technology for transportation with nimble photography. So all you have to do is go to the show notes, click on the link for an invite, and then you're in. And we're going to be doing all sorts of stuff. That group is going to be our watering hole. Now, if this takes off, to be honest with you, I think it is, then I also got the domain name evexplorers.com. So then I could, you know, put a site together and we could start to formalize some of this stuff. But right now, I think it's best just as a group where we compare notes. We already know each other. We already like each other. We have a certain quality of person in our community, if you know what I mean. And I just think it's a nice way to start out. And by the way, just as a plug for Derek's Story Online, the whole reason why I went that route, which is using Mighty Networks instead of Facebook group or instead of some other thing, is because we have complete control over it. It is our group. We don't have to worry about ads. We don't have to worry about, you know, people coming in doing political stuff. We don't have to worry about any of that because it's not owned by Facebook. It's owned by us. And that makes a big difference. I can already tell after having done workshops through this site, Derek's Story Online, that it is just a great, safe, clean place for us to hang out and talk about what we want to talk about and not be distracted by all the other stuff out there. So I think this is going to be a wonderful group. If you're excited, if you're excited about this concept, who knows? You may not, even if you want to buy an EV, you may not buy one for 2 years. in that time, you can be learning everything that you need to know so that when it is time to pull the trigger, you are ready to go and you are a knowledgeable consumer. For my part, I'm going to be sharing the process, the story of me going through and buying the ID4 from start to finish. I'm at the beginning now. The next step for me is a test drive on March 4th. And then I'm also going to be, you know, researching travel tips and, you know, how do we do this? How do we do this and make it fun and exciting and help us continue to explore the world and protect it, or at least do our part to help protect it at the same time. As our group of knowledge grows, who knows where it will take us? I'm sure we'll have meetups. I'm sure we'll have workshops that focus on both EV travel and photography. All of that stuff to be determined. But right now, if you want to hang out with us and talk about combining electric vehicles with nimble photography, click on the link in the show notes, join us, and I will be posting updates here, but there, that group is where the real meat and potatoes are going to be served. Speaking of nimble photography, the second session of integrating iPhone into a pro photography workflow is now announced, and we already have people signing up for it. It's going to be April 21st through May 15th, and the first meeting is going to be on April 21st. What are we doing? Well, I'm in the middle of one right now, the first session, so I know exactly what we're doing. We are leveraging the best parts of the iPhone with the best parts of our favorite digital camera that is compact, and then we're figuring out how to use them together. We're figuring out a tight workflow that is both mobile and can be done at home and can be done in an electric vehicle parked at a campsite. You know, you got four USB outlets in most of these EVs plus everything else, but I'm getting off track here. First of all, we're learning just how versatile and powerful the iPhones are. And then we're also learning the perfect places to use digital cameras instead of an iPhone. And working on the workflow part is a blast. The whole workshop is cool. If you're interested in joining us for the second session, all you have to do is click on the link in the show notes and you can sign up right now. We're going to limit it to 10 spots. Or you can just go to thenimblephotographer.com. There'll be a link at the top of the page. You click on that and that'll take you over to the workshop catalog page. This really kind of fits in nicely with everything else that's going on right now. We're getting more nimble, and at the same time, I feel like we're becoming more capable with our camera gear, and that's what this workshop's about. Speaking of powerful smartphones, Huawei announces foldable Mate X2 smartphone with Leica-branded cameras. This is really interesting. I just saw this post today on Petapixel, and I have a link to the full article in the show notes, so you can go over there and take a look at it. Let me read you some of this. It's fascinating. The Huawei Mate X2 is co-engineered with Leica, building upon an existing relationship between the two companies. The rear of the device features a Leica-branded camera array. The smartphone includes a 50-megapixel Ultra Vision camera, RYYB telephoto, 100 times digital zoom, and a 2.5 centimeter macro lens. The UltraVision camera is wide angle, includes optical image stabilization, and has a maximum aperture of f1.9. The 16 megapixel Cine camera, ultra wide angle, has a f2.4 aperture and includes OIS, optical image stabilization. The 3X camera has a 12 megapixel sensor, f2.4 aperture and OIS, and the 10X optical zoom camera, dubbed Super Zoom, has f4.4 aperture, optical image stabilization, and additional support autofocus. This is all in a foldable smartphone, okay, by Huawei. In terms of additional features, there's a 100 times digital zoom and a hybrid zoom. Autofocus is phase focus and contrast focus both. The camera includes numerous photography modes such as night, macro, portrait, pro, slow-mo, panorama, light painting, HDR, and more. The Mate X2 records 4K UHD video. The device can also record full HD video up to 960 frames a second. Beyond slow-mo into something else, molasses mode. I don't know what it is. Okay. The Huawei Mate X2 will go on sale in China later this week. The 256-gigabyte model will cost basically $2,800 USD. The 512-gigabyte version will cost around $2,950 USD. The Mate X2 will be available black, white, blue, and pink color options. There's no word yet on availability outside of China. To learn more about the Mate X2, visit Huawei. We're in the middle of the iPhone workshop right now, where I'm working with the iPhone 12 Pro Max. And the things that I have discovered about that camera, those cameras, those three of them, has just been mind-boggling, to tell you the truth. It's been really crazy. It's been enjoyable. And it's just been fascinating how you can replace an entire camera bag with this one device. And then I'm carrying either my Olympus Micro Four Thirds or my Fujifilm X100V. And I have a complete kit with just these two items. One fits in my pants pocket. The other one fits in my jacket pocket. Now, to look at the specs that they're talking about here. Now, this is an Android device. If you just look at the camera specs, it's really insane. And I'll be very interested to read some hands-on reviews of this device. But, and this is a foldable smartphone, right? So it's going to open up. And then, so you basically have like an iPad mini when it opens up. Whether you're in the market for one or not, it's just a statement about the progress of technology in the imaging arena. Huawei has, and Leica both, have really stretched the limits, I think, and it'll be interesting to see how the actual pictures look. All right, just a little virtual camera club news. First off, I want to give a shout out to our Patreon members. I just love having these folks in our world. By their feedback, their participation, their thoughts, I can float ideas by them. And if this group likes the idea, then I'm almost, you know, assured that the entire group is going to embrace it. You know, there's just so many things here. And if you want to be an active supporter of what we're doing, and, you know, you can see we're always moving here. We're always moving forward. This group really helps make all of this happen. All you have to do is click on the tile that's on every page of Digital Story, the Patreon tile. Go over, take a look at the site, and then I hope that at some point you'll join us and help keep this community alive and vibrant. And for our existing Inner Circle members, thank you so much. I truly appreciate your participation and support. We do have affiliate links throughout the site whenever I mention a specific product. And we have tiles for both Amazon and B&H Photo in the second column on every page of Digital Story. If you're going to purchase photography gear or something from either of those two sites, if you would go to the Digital Story first, click on the Amazon tile or click on the B&H tile, and then navigate to the product that you want to buy. That helps support the site. And just know that those tiles have affiliate links tied to them, as do the links that I put in the show notes and on the posts that go over to either of those sites. It doesn't cost you anything more, but it really helps support what we're doing here. And finally, a wild shout out to our friends at Red River Paper. I did some printing the other day for family, actually. And, you know, it feels good. And it was funny. There's a scene in Nomad Land, you know, where Frances McDormand is in her van. She's alone one night. It's kind of one of those nights where I think she's probably feeling a little sentimental, kind of missing some of the people who have been in her life. And she pulls out this box, opens it up, and it's full of photographs of, you know, family members and friends over the years. And she's just taking a moment to flip through them, enjoy each one, and just kind of remind herself how lucky she's been and the people that she's known over the years. That's the kind of stuff that prints can do. You know, she didn't pull out her smartphone and, you know, do a search algorithm, you know. she had some prints, and they just have a different vibe to them. Red River paper can help us with that part of our photographic expression. They have a tile on all the pages of Digital Story. Go there, you can get paper, you can get ink for Canon, Epson printers. You can learn about printing techniques. You can see the projects that are available. You can read reviews of printers. This is a special thing, having prints in your life. And if you want to be a part of that, if you want to embrace that, let Red River Paper be your source. They would absolutely love that. And they also have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/Red River Paper. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I'm very excited about all of this. We're going to be talking more about this and all the other things I'm working on. Come back and join me next week. In the meantime, stay safe, be creative, take care of yourself out there. I'll see you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.